Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and we are continuing our April theme of Enduring Powers of Attorney 101. So an enduring power of attorney is when you're alive, but you're incapacitated, as well, that's what mine say, and someone else is making decisions on your behalf. So I've talked about the structure, I've talked about attorneys, we've talked about when they should begin, which is last week's controversial topic. And this week we are rounding it off with talking about attorneys behaving badly. So I will start off by saying that when you want to appoint an attorney, you should be appointing someone that you trust. That is number one, okay? Please do not appoint people because you feel bad. Oh, you know, Joey, like he's terrible with money and he takes money from me, but I'd just feel bad if he wasn't an attorney. Joey should not be your attorney, okay? He cannot be trusted. And you have to remember, you are alive, you know? Like these people are making decisions on your behalf. Make sure that you're picking someone that you trust. So today I'm just going to go through a couple of scenarios that I've seen in practices of attorneys behaving badly. And really, it's always about the finances. It's always about the money. I feel like for health, it's usually not too bad, sort of, but financial is really where things go pear-shaped, okay? So the number one complaint that I will receive, and to be honest, this is probably heading into kind of elder abuse territory. These are the calls that I get where they feel like their elder is being abused financially in some way or coerced. So the number one thing that I see or I hear of is so-and-so is an attorney and they're just taking money out of their principal's account whenever they want, okay? So under the Powers of Attorney Act in Queensland, you are under a number of obligations. There's a presumption of undue influence. So that means that the law presumes that you as an attorney can unduly influence the principal, and the law comes from looking at any transactions in that light. So you have to rebut that to say that the transaction you did was appropriate. You also have to keep records. That's very important. That's an obligation under the Powers of Attorney Act. So when people are not doing those things, not keeping records, just transferring money willy-nilly, that is a problem, okay? That is not appropriate. You're meant to be handling funds for the principal, for their benefit. Now, in my enduring powers of attorney, I do put in a conflict transaction clause allowing attorneys to be reimbursed for their expenses. And lots of people do that, particularly in the initial phases of an appointment whereby they don't yet have access to the principal's funds and the principal needs things paid for, and so they're paying on their behalf. Very normal. You can be reimbursed. That's not a problem. The problem becomes when you start transferring money to yourself for no reason. And this is a very, very common scenario that I see. Okay. I will often get calls, you know, my sibling is the principal for my parent. I can see they're taking money out of the account, or I've been told they've taken money out of the account. My parent has told me they're taking money out of the account. Like, that's problematic. Okay. That's a really problematic one. Now, that's a problem when the principal's alive, obviously, and there are steps that can be taken around that. But most notably, it's having the attorney removed. And when there's a valid enduring power of attorney, that's really going to QCAT to have that person removed. Now, the wait time in QCATs are huge. For an urgent application, it's 7 or 8 weeks. Okay, that's urgent. For any other, the current wait is 34 weeks. So it's quite a long time to do that. So that's the number one attorney behaving badly thing that I see. And when they're alive, as I said, QCAT is the place to go. After a person has passed away, there's actually power under the Powers of Attorney Act for the executor to investigate the attorney's transactions and actually pursue them for any money that was in a like misappropriated while that person was alive. So that power is available under the Powers of Attorney Act. I always tell my executors about that power because that can is quite common. And the most common scenario I will see is transferring of property. So transferring property to the attorney, not under the instructions of the principal. So really, attorneys behaving badly, it's really about finances. In terms of health, to be honest, I don't hear about a huge amount. Things that I will hear about for health is not listening to medical staff. So, for example, trying to move the principal to a different hospital, to a different nursing home, or to some other facility where the medical staff all agree that that shouldn't happen. In that scenario, sometimes you'll find that a hospital will themselves take steps to apply to QCAT, or it may be for others in the family to apply. And I guess it really goes to the point of if you know somebody is under an enduring power of attorney, so, and I guess the most common scenario I see is where you're a child of a principal and they are, then another sibling is the attorney under enduring power of attorney. That is the most common scenario I see. Unfortunately, it's up to you as that sibling to take some action. Okay. That's like really important for you to get legal advice. And that to me really falls under elder abuse. And this is becoming more and more common. I'm seeing it, unfortunately, more and more often. I freaking hate it, to be honest, because I don't even know if I'm allowed to say freaking on this podcast, but I did. Because me as, and I think this is, you know, all cultures, but I'll just pigeonhole the Italians. For me, being Italian, I have always been told, and I grew up with the idea and value that your elders are extremely important people, that you do not disrespect them in any way. And so things like this just, they just crush me because I just can't understand how someone can behave in this manner. And I hate it. I hate attorneys behaving badly. It's horribly such a problem. And it drives me insane. I just can't fathom how people could do this, but inevitably they do. And so I think that if you think or are aware of any of this kind of misuse of funds and abuse happening, you should definitely get legal advice. You can hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. I've also got quite a bit of information in there about elder abuse. There's also kind of an elder abuse hotline that you can call as well. Interestingly, and this was actually a topic, I mean, I'm going on a tangent a little bit here, but I went to a conference last year around incapacity and the Commissioner of Anti-Discrimination for Age. I can't even remember his title. That's very poor, but he was a wonderful speaker. His name was Robert Fitzgerald, actually. And he spoke about how there's really no uniform laws across Australia. There's really no central place you can go when you see these things happening. The laws differ everywhere. In Queensland, we have coercive control laws for domestic partners, not for family members, for example. So it's very hard, and it really is upon the person that thinks something is happening badly to take a step. And I find that those people find out usually through the principal or just random things happening. So it's very important if you think this is happening, take a step. Whilst we can take action after somebody has passed away, if there are no assets left to recover, that's problematic. And of course, this all costs money. It's much cheaper to go to QCAT than it is to pursue after someone has died. So I feel like I've ended on like a horrible note this month. I'm so sorry. But I guess it's like the number one concern that people have for enduring powers of attorney. But I hope I've gone through enough this month. I really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Next month, May, let me have a look at my quick calendar here because I've forgotten. What are we doing next month in May? May, we're talking about probate and letters of administration. Such a fantastic topic. But excitingly, next week, I'm happy to announce we're having a bonus episode, which is going to be a get to know Lydia I haven't done one of these episodes since my first ever audio episode that I did for the podcast. So I thought, why not let me talk about myself, you know? So I'm going to be doing that next week. I promise you it's not going to be very long. I will keep it short, or I could just blabber on as I usually do. Either way, so that wraps up our April topic. We'll speak to you in May about probate, but if you're so inclined to listen, next week there's a bonus episode all about little old me. So thank you so much for listening. Once again, please share, like this podcast, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, you can pop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.